When you read Yahweh is my shepherd, read Jesus is my shepherd king. This is a description of all that Jesus Christ is to you. Yahweh, in the person of His Son, is my shepherd.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hello again, I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue with part two of Tom's series titled Psalm 23. Friend, have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He isn't just your Savior. He's also your shepherd, your personal, caring, devoted shepherd. Think about that for a moment. In the most beloved passage of all Scripture, Psalm 23, King David paints this stunning picture. The Lord is my shepherd, he declares. Not a shepherd, but my shepherd. Personal, intimate, present. Do you really grasp this truth today? Do you understand what it means to be loved by the Good Shepherd himself? Well, today, Pastor Tom highlights this incredible goodness of our shepherd. Tom's going to take us on a journey through God's Word that will leave you amazed at the depth of Christ's care for His people. So settle in, my friend, get comfortable, and join us right now as Pastor Tom opens the sacred pages of Scripture, exploring these life-changing truths here on The Word Unleashed.
Turn over to Exodus chapter 34. Who is this one who calls himself I Am, whom we say he is? What is he? Moses asked God, chapter 33 of Exodus, verse 13, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways. Let me know your predictable patterns of behavior. Listen, folks, God is the most predictable person in the universe. The gods of the nations are impulsive and unpredictable. God is utterly predictable. Moses says, I want to know your predictable patterns of behavior. And he says, notice in verse 18, Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. And so God says, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And then you know the revelation. Notice down in chapter 34, verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Here it is. Here's God's predictable patterns of behavior. Here's what he is. He first recites his name, Yahweh. Yahweh Elohim. And I am compassionate. I am full of pity for those who are in difficulty and trouble. I am gracious. I delight in showing goodness to those who deserve exactly the opposite. I am slow to anger. I am abounding in steadfast love, in loving loyalty and faithfulness. I keep steadfast love for thousands. I forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. And yet, he makes sure that we understand that he doesn't take sin lightly, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren of the third and fourth generation. Where I find sin, I will deal with it, God says. I am a God of absolute justice. How is that reconciled? Forgiving sin, leaving no sin unpunished. It's reconciled, folks, at the cross. But this is who he is. This is God's self-portrait. Can I say this respectfully? This is God's selfie. This is who he is. This is how he wants us to understand him. And this amazing person is our shepherd. Philip Keller, in his book on the 23rd Psalm, says, David knew from firsthand experience that the lot in life of any particular sheep depended on the type of man who owned it. That for a moment. Some men were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, and selfless in their devotion to their flock. Under one man, sheep would struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardship, while in another's care, they would flourish and thrive contentedly. It all depended on who your shepherd was. We know we will be cared for because Yahweh is our shepherd. And here he's told us what he's like. But there's one other thing you need to see here. Did you notice back in Exodus chapter 3 the angel of the Lord said, I am. That means the second person of the Trinity was the one who identified himself, and of course, all three members of the Trinity, as Yahweh. Keep that in your mind. That comes into play later. Now let's go back to Psalm 23. We know, folks, that we will be amazingly cared for because our shepherd is like what we just saw. This is who he is. I also want you to notice the Lord is my shepherd. Literally, the Hebrew text reads, Yahweh, my shepherd. Although the verb of being, translated is, does not occur in the Hebrew text, all of our translations supply it. And that's not only because it just works better in English, but also because in the Hebrew mind, they simply understood the verb of being to be there. So David is describing here a state of being that exactly corresponds to our English word is. So the Lord as my shepherd is both a current state of reality and it will continue to be a state of reality. I love this. Think about this. Yahweh, that wonderful person that we just read about, is right now, wherever I find myself, whatever my circumstances, however hard life may appear and may actually be at this moment, he is my shepherd. He also says, the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, it seems here that the emphasis falls on my. David's point is that he not only enjoys a relationship with God as part of the nation that God had chosen, but his relationship with God is individual and personal. There was a tendency in Israel to speak about God only as our God. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. And of course, that's true. But David here boldly declares that what is true of Israel in general is true of him specifically. Now, sadly, you and I have the same tendency that Old Testament Israel had. We are tempted to speak of our God, our Savior, our Lord. And again, that is true. And we do that because we're part of a family. We're part of a larger group of people. But it is crucial that at the same time, we remind ourselves that the Lord of the church is also the Lord of each one of us as individuals. The God who is the Father of all of his people is also the Father of each one of us individually. Spurgeon writes, David does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large and leads forth the multitude as his flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If he is a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me, watches over me, and preserves me. The Lord is my shepherd. Of course, he finishes the sentence by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Derek Kidner writes, in the word shepherd, David uses the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor yet encountered in the Psalms. The shepherd lives with his flock and is everything to it. Its guide, its physician, and its protector. You know, when you think about this, it's really truly remarkable that David, and ultimately our Lord himself, would have chosen to describe God as a shepherd. Because in ancient Israel, the work of shepherds was considered to be the lowest. We've talked about that before. So why exactly then did David use this image? There are three primary reasons. First of all, because the image of sheep best describes us. They are by nature utterly dependent. They can do nothing for themselves. Philip Keller, again, who grew up in East Africa, surrounded by native herders, and who for 8 years, when he was younger, worked as a sheep owner and rancher, writes this, "Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care." Primary point in this psalm is not what the sheep are unable to do, but what the shepherd actually does. So there's a second reason that he chooses this image. The image of a shepherd best describes God's role in our lives. David chose this picture because, as he understood in a profoundly personal way, a shepherd is everything to his sheep. Sheep cannot survive without the constant presence and the constant care of the shepherd. He is always with them. He provides for their daily food and drink. He leads them on the safe and right paths. He heals their diseases. He protects them from all danger. And this is exactly what God has chosen to be to those who are His people. But there's a third reason David chooses this image, and that is in the ancient world, kings were often called the shepherds of their people. For example, the great Babylonian king Hammurabi was called, quote, the shepherd of the people, end quote. In the writings of Homer, shepherd is used often as a royal title for kings. And even within the scripture, it's used this way. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 44:28 of Cyrus the Mede, it is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. This, by the way, is why the metrical version of Psalm 23 that's in our hymn book reads, the King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Now, understanding this connection, this comes back to what I said at the beginning. Understanding this connection makes the image of God as a royal host in verse 5 fit with that of a shepherd in the first four verses. It moves seamlessly between a shepherd in verses 1 to 4 and a shepherd king in verses 5 and 6. Why a shepherd king? Because it is a beautiful picture. The picture of a shepherd king describes one who is powerful and sovereign, but at the same time, benevolent, kind, and caring to every individual citizen of his kingdom. Now, that raises the question, to whom is God a shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, David says. Not everybody on the planet can say that. Not everybody in this room can say that. So, to whom is God a shepherd? Well, first and obviously, the nation Israel. On several occasions, the Old Testament refers to God as the shepherd of His chosen people, Israel. A number of passages. Let me just show you a couple. Turn over to chapter 28, verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. Look at Psalm 80. And all of these passages make the same point, but I'll just look at a couple of them with you. Psalm 80, verse 1, Psalm of Asaph. Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, calling out to God, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. Those familiar words in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us. It is He who has constituted us a people, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So Israel was the sheep, and God was their shepherd. But notice that in Psalm 23, David doesn't say that God is merely the shepherd of the nation to which he belongs. He says the Lord is my shepherd. So here's the key question. How does an individual become one of God's sheep? He is our shepherd. Well, Jacob was the first to use this image of God in a personal way. In Psalm 48, verse 15, Jacob blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Other Old Testament believers use the same image of themselves. For example, whoever wrote Psalm 119 says this in Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And now here in Psalm 23, David uses the same image of his own relationship to God. So here's the question. How does an individual become like David, God's sheep? The answer is the same in both Testaments. It is solely by God's grace. Turn to Isaiah, Isaiah 53. I want to remind you of a key text, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Here Israel in the future is looking back on how they responded to the Messiah and says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We had a shepherd, but we've gone astray from that shepherd. Each of us individually has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That is the suffering servant, the Messiah. Isaiah intended this description to be primarily a description of those who were supposed to be God's sheep by virtue of being in the nation Israel. But they all intentionally left the path. They all rebelled against their shepherd. And as it turns out, Isaiah 53:6 is an indictment of every person in the nation of Israel and of every human being. It is the biography, not just of the Jewish people, but of every single person. So what was God going to do? Well, because of our desperate sinful condition, the Old Testament predicted that the great shepherd king would come into the world. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, back just a few pages. Isaiah 40, verse 10, as Isaiah begins the second half of his prophecy, as he begins to unfold the coming Messiah, he says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might. Adonai Yahweh," there God is in all caps, that is God's personal name. "Behold, Adonai Yahweh will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will carry the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Yahweh will come in the person of the Messiah as a conquering but generous king who will gently shepherd his people. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel continues the same prediction. Ezekiel 34. Here Ezekiel is talking about how badly the leaders of the nation have shepherded God's people. And so he says, "I'm going to raise up a true shepherd." Look at verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, thus says Yahweh, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." And he talks about bringing them out of the nations. Notice verse 15. This is still Yahweh speaking. "I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest," declares the Lord Yahweh. Now, notice how this is refined down in verse 23. He says, "Then I will set over my people one shepherd, my servant David." Wait a minute. Ezekiel lives after David. What's he talking about here? Does it mean David's going to be king again? No, this is a prediction of the one who will come in the line of David, of the Messiah. He says, "I will put him as the shepherd, and I, the Lord, I, Yahweh, will be their God," verse 24, "and my servant David," that is the descendant of David, "will be a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken." Here you have both a divine, "I, Yahweh, will shepherd my people," and a human, "he will be in the line of David," shepherd king. So who is this shepherd king? The answer comes in Micah. Turn to Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You're familiar with this text. Here we find out where the Messiah will be born. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel." He's going to be a king. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. This is a prophecy about where the Messiah will be born. But notice verse 4, "and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace." The Old Testament said, wandered, they have strayed to their own way. So I'm going to send the shepherd king into the world. And the New Testament tells us that that shepherd king has come. Turn with me to John chapter 10. I want you to see this. This will wrap all of it up together. John chapter 10. If I had time, I'd walk you through this entire text. But let's just skip to verse 11. "I am," Jesus says, "the good shepherd. I am the shepherd of my people. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold," that is not Jewish. "I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." Here is the perfect fulfillment of all the Old Testament said. Messiah, the shepherd king, will come. And here Jesus says, I am that shepherd. I am that shepherd king. I will rule over my people. We now belong to him as our shepherd king because he laid down his life. He paid for us at the price of his own life. And so the rest of the New Testament refers to Jesus this way. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter 2:25, you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the person of his Son, God has made us his sheep, and he has become in Christ our shepherd. Just as a shepherd does with his physical flock, Christ chose us, he bought us, he knows each of us individually, he calls each of us by name, he has made us his own, and he delights in caring for us. In fact, Psalm 23 is his divine job description. When you read, Yahweh is my shepherd, read, Jesus is my shepherd king. This is a description of all that Jesus Christ is to you. He works day and night for the good of his sheep. I love the way one commentator puts it. He says, I am the good shepherd. In the dry and merciless logic of a commentary, trying laboriously to find out minute points of resemblance in which Christ is like a shepherd, the glory and tenderness of this sentence are dried up. But try to feel by imagining what the lonely Syrian shepherd must feel towards the helpless things which are the companions of his daily life, for whose safety he stands in jeopardy every hour, and then we have reached some notion of the love which Jesus meant to represent, that eternal tenderness which bends over us and knows the name of each and the trials of each and thinks of each and gave himself for each with a sacrifice as special and a love as personal as if in the whole world's wilderness there was none other sheep but that one. The Lord is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. If you've never repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ and in him alone, I'm sorry to tell you that Psalm 23 is not for you. You cannot claim its promises because ultimately the shepherd described there is none other than Jesus Christ. But if you will come to him, he will become even this day your shepherd. But if Jesus Christ is already your Lord and Savior, then he is already your shepherd. He is everything to you that a shepherd is to his sheep. He is your shepherd king. Now here's a key question to really understand this psalm. To whom does David say, the Lord is my shepherd? To whom does he say this? Well, if you look at Psalm 23, you'll notice that verses 4 and 5, David is speaking to God. But in verses 1 to 3 and verse 6, David is talking to himself. Can I say to you, it is the essence of faith to stop listening to yourself, as Lloyd-Jones used to say, and instead start talking to yourself with what God has revealed as true in his word. Like David, remind yourself about this reality. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, in the person of his Son, is my shepherd. Or do you live instead of rehearsing what God has said to be true, do you live in the shadow lands of doubt and discouragement and defeat? Listen, stop listening to the lies that your mind generates on its own and continues to generate, and start speaking to yourself and to your soul as David did with the truth of what God has said. If you're in Christ, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. Yahweh is right now, wherever I find myself, my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. The rest of the psalm unfolds all that that means.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part two of his series, Psalm 23. Tom will have part three for you next time. Do join us then. Church leadership can often seem like hazardous duty. Leaders can have both mountaintop experiences and seasons of discouragement. How can you, as a leader of Christ's church, faithfully respond to the different perspectives on leadership and the trials and triumphs of ministry? In Tom Pennington's book, Faithful Stewards, he identifies three key perspectives on church leadership that can help you maintain spiritual stability in ministry. Purchase your copy of Tom's book, Faithful Stewards, today at thewordunleashed.org. The Word Unleashed is made possible because of the prayers and financial gifts of individuals like you. Please consider partnering with us. You can find out how to do so by visiting us online at The Word Unleashed. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.